I'm just full of sayings lately. I think I'm thinking back to my childhood, and I was just raised with just one adage after another. We often say, what goes around comes around, referring to life experiences kind of being boomerangs of sorts. What goes around comes around alludes to the idea that what you give out will come back to you. If you treat others badly, then you will be treated badly. And if you treat others kindly, the kindness will come back to you. Sometimes that seems to be true, but oftentimes it seems that the coming back around is a very slow process, or never happens at all. Sometimes we may treat people kindly and never see the fruits of that labor, but that doesn't mean we should give up or stop trying. We should treat people in the way we want to be treated, even if it seems that we are the only ones being thoughtful, considerate, conscientious, or kind. No one would have been a bit surprised if David had treated Saul badly. Saul, after all, had tried to have David killed. It would have not ruffled any feathers had David proclaimed good riddance upon hearing that Saul had been killed. Saul was a thorn in David's side in his last years, to say the least. People over the centuries probably have been surprised and shocked to read that David had Saul's killer executed. The guy who thought he was doing David a favor by killing Saul discovered that he was entirely wrong on that. David harbored no ill will towards Saul. He had the opportunity to kill him himself and did not. And after he was killed, David's closest friend, Jonathan, Saul's son, was dead as well. David wrote a heartfelt lamentation, crying out of his sadness. We might understand the deep sorrow of the loss of his closest friend, but one who in many ways had become his enemy? That's more difficult to resonate with. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul speaks about the generosity to the people of Corinth. In the verses leading up to today's reading, he commends the people of Macedonia to the people of Corinth. He talks about their giving, even when they had very little, and uses them as an example for the people of Corinth. He says, their abundance will be used for others, and the abundance of others will be used for their need. What he is urging here, he says, is fair balance. This is a literal example of the thinking of what goes around comes around. Others have helped you when you needed help, and you help others when they need help. Fair balance. Paul uses scripture to support this. He says, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. That sounds a bit odd in our context, because we know of those who have too much, and we also know of those who have too little. But what the Corinthians would have immediately thought of when they heard this passage is Exodus 16:18. The people are wandering in the wilderness. They are hungry and there is no food. They cry out to God. God hears them and gives them manna. And each received exactly what they needed. Not too much and not too little. If you try to snatch more than your fair share or try to hoard your manna for several days, it would ruin. You could take only what you needed for that day. But you could take as much as you needed for that day. The key here is knowing what you need, not just what you want. If you have more than you need, then share it with others so that there is fair balance and what goes around will continue to go around and come around. Today, Jesus finds himself in a boat again and surrounded again by a large crowd. Everywhere he goes, there is a large crowd pushing and bumping, trying to get close to him, trying to hear what he is saying or be touched by his healing hands. There's a woman, an unclean woman, a woman who has been unclean for a very long time, 12 years. She's gone through any number of physicians and has used up all her resources. She is tired and weak and desperate. She is one in the crowd, and in the core of her being, she knows that Jesus can restore her to health. Acting out of her desperation, she reaches out and touches him, something that could get her into serious trouble and perhaps even have her killed. The minute she touches him, she knows she's healed. Stranger than that, he knows it too. His disciples think he's lost his mind. He says, "Who touched me? Seriously? How can we possibly know who touched you? There are about a million people here, and any given moment, at least 50 of them could have touched you." Now let's get moving. There's this guy named Jairus who has a gravely ill child and needs your help. We'll never know what was going through the just healed woman's mind when she decided to confess to having touched the healer. Was one moment of wholeness worth a lifetime of shame? Or did she know in the same faithful heart that urged her to reach out that this man would not ostracize her? Did she understand that in Jesus' world, love is the rule? What goes around continues to go. There's no expectation of it returning, but continuing to grow and spread. Rather than condemning this newly restored child of God, Jesus commends her faith and continues on to the house of the distraught father. During the time that was spent with the faithfully healed woman, Jairus' daughter has died. Friends come to tell him, "Stop wasting the teacher's time. She's dead. It's too late. She's gone." But Jesus urged Jairus to have faith. And with a word, Jesus restored her life. He spoke, "Little girl, get up." And she did. She got up and walked. Jesus told her parents, "Fear, she's alive." His very words are the same words that brought creation into being. God spoke the world into life. And Jesus speaks life to the world. He had no expectation of being paid for his healing services. He expected nothing in return. He gave out of love. He gave help and life in a world that was sick and dying. He gave and gave and gave. He finally gave his life for that world, for you and for me. And that's exactly what we're to do. Not to give in hope of it returning to us, but to give because we have first been given. To love as we have been loved. And to share that love in the world. To be like David, like the people of Macedonia, and like Christ. Amen.